glorious humans, gentle ladies, lad men, ladies and gentlemen, dreamers and dreams alike, and welcome to the Devolver Digital Forecast here at forecast.devolverdigital.com. Hi, I'm your co-host JM.
And I am Jared.
Hey Jared, how you doing?
Pretty good, man, pretty good. We had a pretty intense thunderstorm here last night, so it was really, really nice. really cool. So yeah, that was relaxing. Even got some hail too, which is just funny. Kind of came out of nowhere, but it's good.
Oh, nice.
It's a good storm.
Thunder and lightning.
Not so frightening.
That's great. Oh, I miss those so much.
How are you doing? What's new?
I'm doing all right. I got a cat rubbing up against my leg right now, so that's good.
That's pretty good, man.
yeah, it's pretty all right. Yeah. Been taking some classes. I signed up for a screenwriting class, so hopefully this year's holiday special will be cogent.
Ooh, exciting. Uh-huh.
I know. Yeah, I've been playing Helldivers, and... oh, wait. Did you say what's new?
Yeah, what's new?
Oh, god damn it. That's the perfect segue for news. God,
what's news?
Jared, what's new? Well, I'll tell you what's new. Pepper Grinder came out.
It did.
And then Children of the Sun came out.
Yeah,
and
buddy.
They're both wonderful games that everyone should buy and play. And they're both on PC. And Pepper Grinder is on Switch. And go get them. And we announced Crush House, which is such a unique and wild game. And I hope people are excited about it. And Jared, that's what's new.
That's what's new? Well, perfect.
That's what's new.
I didn't really give a shit about the cat or your Helldivers. I just wanted to hear about the Devolver stuff.
Yeah, fuck you, JM. Yeah, that's fair. Well, good job us. Good job us. And in honor of Pepper Grinder and Children of the Sun coming out, Jared had the cool idea that we would do an episode about cozy games.
Cozy games. Yeah.
The joke there for anyone who doesn't know about Pepper Grinder and Children of the Sun is while Pepper Grinder does have cozy aesthetics, it is definitely an action platformer, and Children of the Sun is in no way, shape, or form a cozy game.
It's as far as you could get from...
Sorry. like other people may be having a cozy time, but your character is there to ruin it.
Is not, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Decidedly uncozy.
But yeah, I mean, so there was a new update to Stardew Valley, came out like a week or so ago, so I've been playing that again, and that's kind of...
You can grow weed now, right?
Oh yeah, it's 420
is
update.
That the, no. Yeah. Good, yeah. Sorry, what is it really?
Anyway, I've been playing that, which is what prompted the idea of like, oh yeah, do you have some like favorite like cozy games or just, you know, games that are just fun that kind of... You don't have to think about too much and just give you a nice warm feeling, relaxing games. I hate to use the like casual games, but you know, things like that. So
yeah.
But yeah, I've been playing a lot of Stardew, and it had been long enough since I played it last time that I was able to just sort of start from the beginning and it all feel fresh again.
Nice.
And the update is a bunch of like little stuff and quality of life things. So it is perfect to start from the beginning. And yeah, it's like, man, this game is just so perfect.
That's great. It's
such a good old warm blanket, you know?
Yeah, it's a terrific game, and it's really wonderful that it exists.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's mm-hmm. kind of the idea. I mean, I don't know how much more I can say about Stardew Valley. It's it's very popular, you know.
Everybody knows about it.
Yeah. But that's the, I guess, the kickoff. For this kind
but
of
what
topic.
Is it, what is it, Jared, that sets Stardew Valley, what would you say, that sets Stardew Valley apart as really being maybe the coziest of cozy games, the king of cozy games, the monarch of cozy games?
That's a great
the
question.
The concerned ape of cozy games.
The thing that I think about it that makes it such a good game is that there it really is set up... There's a bunch of different things in there so that there is no true, like, right or wrong way to play it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, because people say, right, it's a farming sim. You don't have to farm at all if you don't want to. You know, like, you you just don't have to. So it has that, all of that freedom, but it also has, like, because some games can have too much freedom where it can sort of become overwhelming to certain types of players, where Stardew Valley has, like, quests, and it encourages you to kind of say, like, hey, like, maybe go check out the mines, and you go figure that out, or, you know, like, if you haven't been fishing, then at a certain point, the guy will come and be like, hey, I noticed you haven't been fishing, here's a rod to make fishing easier for you, or stuff like that. So it's a mixture of freedom with, like, enough, not hand-holding, but it's got the perfect guardrails to kind of set it up to sort of push you certain directions, while also, yeah, giving you the freedom to kind of be like, yeah, okay, I kind of want to mainly focus on this. And it's really satisfying gameplay loop, like, literally being tied to, you know, time, and the in-game days, but the fact that time moves so quickly in that game, as opposed to, like, Animal Crossing, right, which is real time. That you kind of have that, where you're like, okay, I get this stuff done, and then, you know, times with that game, I'll say, okay, well, I'm going to be done after this day. But then I chip all these crops, or I go do this. It's like, well, no, hang on, that'll happen tomorrow. Let me just see what happens tomorrow. And then you do it again and again, and I think it's something, it's only like 13 or 14 minutes in real time is a day. So it's just so fast that it's a really just solid gameplay loop. And it's cozy environment, it's NPCs, it's music. Mm-hmm. That all just adds to the, you know, the warmth.
Yeah. It's good vibes.
Yeah, it's good vibes, man. It's just good vibes.
Yeah, and I think you hit on a really cool thing that they do with balancing. Like, there's nothing that you have to do, but they let you know the things you can do. They're very upfront about, like, hey, you can do this. And, you know, the first time you play, you think, oh, I have to farm. But you don't have to, like you said. And it's, yeah, they really do a good job of presenting things without requiring that you do them.
Yeah, I was not really a big fan of games like that. And I kind of was hesitant to play Stardew Valley for that same reason. But when I started, that was what I was very impressed by, is that there's a quest log, you know? You get, like, a quest log of things to do, and you're like, oh, okay, so that kind of, for me being a guy who plays a lot of games, that kind of triggers that dopamine thing of checking off this list. But then also, like, you know, playing again, it's like, oh, I don't really want to, like, somebody saying, oh, well, go get me this from the mines or whatever. It's like, I don't really like the mines. I don't want to do that. And I'm not punished for not doing that. I can still play through the entire thing and still, like, because there's not an end game, but it's just, like, you're building up to get more things to make more efficient money to, I don't know, build a greenhouse, build a, you know, be able to repair the bus, go to the desert, which opens a whole new plethora of things. It's just a constant stream of rewards. But like the way that you get those rewards is not tied to one thing, which is, I don't know. Because something like, I think on the opposite end, right? Like, maybe not the opposite end, but some people would say something like Minecraft, right, is a cozy game. Or like Gary's Mod, and to me they have a bit too much freedom, where like those complete sandboxes are just not for me. I like a little bit of the guidance, and Stardew Valley is just a perfect, it just, he hit the nail on the head there of player freedom and choice, while also like encouraging you to do different things. And you know, you get rewards for different stuff, but you don't have to. It's that game is the equivalent of your friend being like, hey, you don't have to if you don't want to, but like, would you maybe bring me this? And you're like, yeah, okay, I can do that, but it's not like a boss telling you what to do, or you're just expected to know how to do that. It's like, yeah, you don't have to feel like it. If you got some free time, you're like, yeah, I'll see if it's in my schedule.
And there's not a timetable for those kinds of things, right? In Stardew Valley, it's like, oh, hey, I asked you for that like months ago. Sweet, yeah, there's some. Need it. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, there's like some of those quests where it's like, hey, can you do this to me? And it's like, you have 2 days to do it. But those are like the auto generated ones. But yeah, like the big quests, you could leave for technically in game years, and then when you finally do it, they're like, oh, thank you, I needed this cauliflower.
I've been waiting to make soup.
For like 2 years, I could finally. But But yeah, that too. And like the like the NPCs, right? So it's like, you know, there's characters and you can give them gifts and you can form relationships, and I think that plays into a lot of other what other people might have some cozy games where it's like a friends simulator, I would say. And I wouldn't really call any of the characters in Stardew Valley super deep. But they definitely are unique, and there's, you know, it's not just like a hey, everybody is my best friend right off the bat kind of thing, or they're all the same. And and so, I don't know, it helps with that kind of feeling lived in, which helps you as a player feel like you, like, are important there and that you matter. Yeah. And that, like, when you walk into town, they're like, oh, hey, and they say hi to you.
Yeah.
It's just, it's good, man. It's just so good.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Stardew Valley, a good game. Check it out.
I know that's a real hot take, but...
It's like our episode of Hot Takes.
Oh, that we're just not hot takes?
We just did no hot takes because we're cowards.
But yeah, that's kind of what prompted it. The new update got me back into that crack of a video game, so...
Nice. Lovely. I don't play as many cozy games as as maybe I thought I might have before going into this. So I'll start with a game. It's also a farming game, and I kind of spoiled what I was going to say. But it's a little game called Weedcraft.
Ah, ha, ha, Weedcraft.
Which Devolver Digital published on a dare. And it's a farming sim where you, either in the era of illegal or legal weed, have a growing operation and a selling operation. And you nurture little marijuana plants and you clip them. And you have these little tasks that you do. And you grow them and you sell them and you make money. And you... What do? You have to, like... hire people to like sell it, but it's got a real chill vibe and it's got a cool soundtrack and it is cozy in the way that, like, you know, hanging out in a weed filled apartment is cozy.
It's all the like the fun of like owning drug labs in Grand Theft Auto without the fear of like your crops getting taken out by rival gangs and stuff.
You know what's fucked up? That has happened to you so many times, and it's happened to my friend Lance so many times. The cops have never raided any of my drug operations in Grand Theft Auto, and I think I might just be better at video games than y'all, must be the situation.
I think you're a fucking narc, is what you're telling me. Oh, I never get raided by the cops. Yeah, I didn't tell them about your operation at all. You know, it was weird that they knew where it was.
Weird. How did they know? Oh, funny. Anyway, got a date with Officer McClutchie. Anyway, but yeah. So I think there's raids in Weedcraft as well, though. Like, if you fuck up and get too ostentatious during the illegal era. Speaking of weed, though, I'll plug. So I live in Washington State. Which is one of the many states where marijuana is legal. And I go to a shop and they do two things that I think are really cool. One, they have an ATM with no fees. They cover the ATM fees. And if you got a cash only business, that's real goddamn decent of you. The other thing they do is when you make a purchase, they have an option of charities you can choose from that they donate like a percentage of your purchase to. Like, you don't add money to it. They just, like, you pick one and they donate to that cause. It's neat. Yeah, it's not like the thing where you're checking out at like the grocery store and it's like, do you want to donate to this cause?
Do you want to round up your purchase or whatever?
Yeah, which is good, but is also like just a way for the grocery store to use your money to claim that they did charity,
yeah,
so that for tax write-off. That might not be true, maybe that's wrong, but I've heard that and I believe that. But anyway, this place does this other thing, and one of the things there is something called the Last Prisoner Project, which is a group in Washington, a charity in Washington, trying to get people who have been convicted of, you know, marijuana possession or whatever back when it was illegal, that are still in prison, you know, for nonviolent crimes and stuff like that. You know, trying to get those people out and get their lives back in order. And I think that's a noble cause. And so I just thought I'd plug that charity because I think they're great. And I actually recently gave to them just directly because I was like, you know what? I really like that this fucking exists. Yeah. Anyway, all kinds of terrible injustices in the world, and there's all kinds of important causes to get involved with, but that is one that I think is neat, and it makes me feel cozy.
Tying it all back.
Tying it all back.
Yeah, I can't even fucking imagine, like, you're in jail for, like, a crime of possession of something, and then you get out, and you basically see, like, a fucking Starbucks selling that very thing. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, I spent a couple years in my life away for that, but, you know, okay, cool.
Yeah, cool.
Life is neat. Fair.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry to get uncozy.
Anyway, yeah, Weedcraft. Weedcraft is cool, though.
It is cool. It's a fun
better
game.
It's better than you think it is, I think, is the thing, right? Like, it looks almost like a joke, I would assume, right? You're like, oh, Devolver Digital made a game about weed. Or it's like, no, it's good. And that is kind of like a, I don't have any of these on my list, but, like, you know, like those business sim tycoon type games.
Yeah.
Those are always, like, really fun and cozy. And Weedcraft just has it in kind of like a fun, like, it's sort of like a goofy setup, just because you think, like, a game about selling weed. But right? It takes it very seriously, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get to breed the different strains and stuff like that and learn about weed, I guess. I don't know if it's accurate to real weed strains. I don't actually know that much about.
There might be some, like, drugs. Legal distinctions, you know, I really don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea how that works.
Like, the weed lawyers are going to come see you for, like, misrepresenting blue purple bunny haze or something? Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know, man.
Drug libel.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my first one. What's funny is now we're talking, I'm also thinking, you mentioned tycoon games, and I guess I've got another game now that I'll put on my list. My bit right now is that I'm only going to do Devolver games.
Only cozy Devolver games.
Only cozy Devolver games. Because I couldn't think of any other games. But now you mentioned tycoon games. I'm like, oh yeah, right. There's a lot of tycoon games I like. We'll see how that goes. So that's my first one. Weedcraft.
It's a good choice.
Yeah, and a good soundtrack.
Yeah, an underrated Devolver title that I think some people might not give a chance just purely based on what it is. But yeah, it's fun. Give it a go.
Yeah. I mean, they probably, like you said, they probably think it's like a gimmick.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But all the best silly games are, you think they're a gimmick, and then people just take it very, very seriously and make it really good.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like Untitled Goose Game or I'm just thinking, you say like a gimmick taken way too seriously. It's like, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's, there's so many things like that where, I mean, I don't know. I've been rewatching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and the earnestness. That's what makes it so good, is everybody's 100%, and the people writing it or the guy writing it, making it, whatever, like, is like 1,000% yes on every decision. Like, goes into these things as deep as they can get in the time that they have. And I love that, and I respect that. And people, like, it's engaging. It's fun.
Yeah, for sure. When I started watching that show, right, it's like, it's so goofy and weird, but it is so earnest and so just like proud to be itself that you can't help but think, like, man, this is just unique. And like, even though some of it is, a lot of it's really dumb, it's just so good, and you're just like, man, like, I can't fault you for just being who you are, you know, like.
yeah it's like kids on a playground. When I watch that show, a lot of the times I feel like it's kids on a playground, and they've determined, like, okay, I've got the power over this, or I've got, you know, this kind of stand. And it just kind of turns into a thing where they're like yelling back and forth about what each other's, you know, what they do, and like how their ability like trumps the other one. And then they kind of back and forth until the good guy wins. Usually, I mean, it's the plot is complicated at times, which is nice. Anywho.
I'd say I should move on, or I'll just turn the rest of this into talking about JoJo. So I thought for another cozy game, right? I sort of went back to my childhood because I was thinking like another thing associating with cozy games is nostalgia, right? Like if something like reminds you of your childhood or reminds you of a different time, then that can be a cozy game. And so this is kind of an entire, this is a whole catalog of games, but games by Humongous Entertainment, who, if people aren't familiar, they made point-and-click games for children, and I played all of them as a kid, and I will still play some of them as adults, and some of them being like, you know, the Putt-Putt series, so Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon, Putt-Putt Goes to the Zoo, or Pajama Sam, I love Pajama Sam, Freddy Fish. My favorite as a kid was Spy Fox, which was just like a James Bond parody, but you're a fox. But have you played any of these?
No, I might have missed these.
They were, I want to say it was like the late 90s and early 2000s. They published a bunch of them, but they're like, you know, like so 2D animated, like very cartoony, just very simple point and click games. But really cool worlds, and as a kid, so Putt-Putt, you played as a little car, and it was all like car type stuff. So you'd say, "I'm gonna go to the zoo," and you'd see all these animals, but they were like different car animals. And then Pajama Sam, you were a kid who was afraid of. So there were a couple different titles within the series. So Pajama Sam was a kid who was afraid of something, and so the game would be you kind of confronting your fear. So the first one was like, "I'm afraid of the dark." So you're like, your mom says you got to go to bed and you got to turn the lights out. So when she turns the lights out, you're transported to this dark, spooky woods and you have to navigate and find your way back. But then you find out that, well, the darkness is hiding in the closet and darkness is sad because nobody wants to play with him because they're so afraid of him all the time. And he's really not that bad of a guy. You know, this stuff like that. Yeah. Or funny, we mentioned thunderstorms. There was one about he's afraid of the thunder and the lightning. So he ends up going to this. Like that one was really cool because it's like imagines a world where weather is like this factory, and so like thunder and lightning are people, and then there's like rain and sunshine and all those are different people, and they all are like operating like these systems that are like, oh well, you have to have thunder and lightning because if we don't, then now we've affected it, now there's flooding in Egypt and blah blah blah, and so you have to get the weather back and learn that it's okay that natural weather happens, and I don't know, very cute.
Nice.
And then Spy Fox, like I mentioned, he was a James Bond kind of guy, but it was just super goofy, and you always had the right gadget for the time. And there were many more. They did a bunch, but they were so fun as a kid, and like they just have a lot of charm to them. You can probably clear it in like 30 minutes. Like nowadays, it's nothing difficult, but for the mixture of the cartoon and really creative aesthetic versus just that kind of reminding me of, you know, playing early games like back when PC games were still on discs, you know, playing them on my dad's computer. That entire catalog is one big cozy game for me.
Nice. Oh, that's great. See, for me, my earliest point and click games were Sierra games.
Not cozy
There's
games.
nothing fucking cozy about that. Pick up the hammer. Oh, you picked up the hammer without having nails in your hand, and so clumsily decided to hammer yourself in the face till you fucking died. Would you like to load or start over?
You know,
It's
I had
fucking
a
Sierra
because I had
games.
these games, these humongous entertainment games, but then I also had, I don't remember which one it was, but one of the King's Quest games, and I think my parents got it for me because they were like, "Oh yeah, it's kind of like that." And I was just like, I could not fucking understand it at all. I was like, "What is this crap?"
Yeah. Fucking
Oh.
brutal, those games.
Yeah, these are great because they're point and click, similar thing, but I mean they're literally for children, and like you know you can't get yourself into those situations, and there was always like a button you just clicked where if you didn't know what to do, the guy would be like, "Maybe I should check out this or whatever." So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure I've seen something or played something like that, but the point and clicks burned into my memory are terrifying.
Just
Just brutal.
horrendously unfair,
Yeah, just if you don't throw, if you don't, as soon as you walk into this scene, throw the boot in your inventory at the cat chasing the mouse across the screen. Then later, when you're hanging from a rope, the mouse won't come and chew through the rope to free you. That's literally one of the ones from King's Quest.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And it's like, what the fuck, man? The fuck? Well, my second game is coincidentally a point and click adventure.
I might know what it is.
Yeah, you might know. Well, it's something that reminds me of being young and having fun. And it's, I fucking forgot the name of it. I was gonna say Dropsy, and then I was like, no, wait, I'll say Crossing Souls.
Yeah, Crossing Souls.
Crossing Souls is cozy until it isn't.
That is, yeah, that's very true.
Actually, the same could be said for Dropsy.
That is also true.
It's cozy until it isn't. Both of those open up as cozy games, but they're not proper cozy games, so never mind. I'm sorry. I'll go with my original list. Terran Hill.
Oh, man, absolutely. And, yeah.
And another Devolver game that people probably aren't as aware of because it did not see the same critical success as Terran Hill is Blockhood.
I was just going to say, yeah, Blockhood and Terran Hill are very much like spiritual successors, I guess I want to say. But
yeah. Terran Hill is simpler.
It's more approachable, I think.
Yeah, it's very easy. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, for anyone who doesn't know what Terran Hill is, it's a game where you are given a barren wasteland, and with the use of tools and irrigation and stuff like that, you rejuvenate the land and you get the rivers flowing and you restore the marshlands, and there's different biomes that you have different things for. And it's really fun. It is challenging. So it's not, I'm trying to balance like cozy with challenging, because sometimes they're these games, I think they're cozy, but then I'm like, but they have fail states, and I'm trying to think if that disqualifies them.
That's an interesting point, right? Because it's like, does cozy just like, can you not like fail in a cozy game? But I don't know that I would necessarily agree, because like the two that I mentioned, both Stardew and then the Humongous Entertainment games, like you can't really die or lose, you know, you just keep going. But I can wait till I get to my.
Okay.
I'll jump ahead of my list to the next one when I get there. But yeah, I think that's a quality, and it kind of depends on you, right? Because like some people cozy would just be like no challenge, but some people they're like, well, I don't want, you know, like I don't want a Dark Souls boss, but I want some sort of challenge to like kind of overcome, because that kind of like overcoming a challenge can be a cozy feeling in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, and I could enjoy Terran Hill without the fail states.
Sure.
It's a tough game sometimes.
Yeah.
But Blockhood is way more complicated and really, really more scientifically grounded, even if it is, you know, still got a spice of fantasy in there. But it's really cool in that you have an area and you need to generate, you need to get water and generate power. And in Blockhood, people live, like you need to have enough energy and power and food to sustain people. But you have a lot of green options, and it's really, really cool. Like, you could just dig for oil and burn oil, and that's fine, but then you pollute the atmosphere. But in Blockhood, you can do solar panels, wind turbines, that kind of thing. You recycle water. There's bio-recycling, where you recycle, you know, gray water, you recycle wastewater. And you can create, it's really a systems balancing game. And it's really beautiful. And it's cool. It has a campaign that you can do just to kind of get the vibe of the game and learn what you're doing. And it has a bunch of challenge modes. And then I think it's got free modes, if I recall correctly. And it's really cool just kind of settling in and building, like, It's fun because you unlock different types of people when you put in different buildings and structures, and you like give them leisure things to do and work things to do, and it's cool how complicated you can get it while still maintaining the balance between all the basic elements. And I've always been a little sad that it didn't get more traction than it did. It's again, it's more challenging than Terranil in a lot of ways. Less accessible, but it's still a really cool game, and it has a lot of really cool science, or science adjacent factors to it that I really enjoy.
It's a good pick, man. I like, genuinely, that is a really solid Devolver title that kind of goes under the radar, just like Weedcraft. Yeah. Maybe for different reasons. Yeah, Wakud and Terranil, both great. I'd say, so, you know, because Terranil is more recent, right? So people listening, maybe they played it. If you haven't played it, you should play it. But I'd say that if you liked Terranil and you have not played Blockhood, go back and check that out, because it might be your jam.
Did they do a VR version of Blockhood as well? I know that's not...
That sounds like
I remember they were prototyping. Yeah, I don't know if it think it's came all, out. Yeah, I think it did come out. And if it didn't, I apologize for misleading you. But I think there's also Blockhood VR if you want to do it in VR.
I have not played the VR version, so...
I think I played a little, and I was like, oh, I like it better on a screen.
Yeah.
Personally.
So I'm gonna jump ahead on my list here, because the thing I wanted to talk about, it's kind of similar to what you were saying, right? But so, like, puzzle games as just, like, a genre, I find to be very cozy, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's not necessarily this, like, you know, like a challenge of enemies or of you know, facing death or, like, you know, something like that. But the challenge kind of comes from overcoming the certain puzzle that you're presented with. Now, puzzle games can very much not be cozy if the puzzles are fucking bullshit and you spend forever. Because puzzle games have that. I do not envy people who make puzzle games, because to make something that can be solved but is also challenging, you know, because if you get to a point where you're stuck, it's not like, you know, you can't just, like, grind to get better or unlock better tools. It's like, well, you got to figure it out. And that can put you in a real, like, rut, right? So, in my mind...
An uncozy mindset.
Exactly, yeah. And so I was thinking, like, well, what are some really good, like, puzzle games that are not necessarily that difficult, but, you know, enough stimulating and, like, the kind of environments and stuff just to make it good. And, of course, there's a lot of, you know, things like the first Portal... stuff like that, but I wanted
the second Portal.
Well, the second Portal is great too, but I think it's a lot. It's a lot longer and more of a game, so I wouldn't call it as cozy. Like, you could do
fair
Portal
fair.
One, you could be in like an hour and a half, you know. So,
yeah.
Or like Talos Principle is cozy until you hit those puzzles where you're like, "What the fuck am I supposed to do?"
Talos. The soundtrack really tries to keep it.
Yeah, absolutely. But the two games I wanted to highlight are some that not very many people, I think, played and I think deserve some attention. And it's two games, but they're kind of the same game, and I'll explain in a second. So one is called Slay Away Camp, and then by extension is the Friday the 13th puzzle game. So they're made by the same people, and they essentially are the same game, but one is licensed Friday the 13th, the other's not. So they're it's like a horror setting. You plays like a horror killer, and your goal is basically you're on a grid and you have to, like, find and kill all of the people in the map, but you can only move in complete straight lines, so it's kind of hard to explain with just words, but essentially it's like a sliding puzzle, like one of those sliding puzzles to find the right angle. But it's kind of like a almost like a Roblox style, I'd say. Like, it's blocky and cartoony, so even though it's horror and you're violent, it's all still very cute and kind of lighthearted. And it's not very challenging at all, but there's enough of a challenge. Like, it adds new stuff where, oh, if you go this way first, you have then you lock yourself out of win or whatever, and it has an instant reset button, which I think is something almost every puzzle game should have, where you kind of dig yourself too deep into a hole, you're like, click a button, bring you back to the start, you know. And both of those games are just, they're really fun. And maybe it's because I you know, I like horror, that it adds to that cozy atmosphere, but it's still very cartoony and silly and enough brain engagement to kind of take my mind out of whatever's bothering me, but not enough to be frustrating. And yeah, both of those games are great. The Slayaway Camp is the first one, and then eventually they got it licensed to do Friday the 13th, which is the same game, but you play as Jason, basically. But yeah, I recommend both of those games. I think they're fantastic.
Nice. I remember you recommending Slayaway Camp when I was about to fly somewhere, and I played it for an entire flight, and I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was like, hey, it's not hard, but it's just... it's like just engaging enough that it's really, it's a fun like couple hours.
Yeah. 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 No, I really enjoyed it. And yeah, you're right. It's cute. It's got that cute horror. I mean, it's not really very horror cause it's so cute. I mean, they're all little voxel people. So there's nothing like genuinely, you know, in any way horror.
Yeah. Like, cause you,
but it's that juxtaposition, like Cult of the Lamb kind of thing where it's like, oh, cute. And oh, I guess it's scary like that. And it's dead.
Yeah. It's like the horror settings and the horror, like, cause you pick your killer and they're all modeled after different movies. And you know, once you find the last person, it's a little cutscene of how you kill them, and you're like, oh, you decapitate them, or you cut their head off with a chainsaw, or whatever. But it's all just cute and stylized and stuff that, yeah, it's not scary or horrifying in any real sense, but it's just the vibes, you know?
Nice. Yeah, that's a great one. I forgot about that game. Super cute. It does put me in mind of Baba Is You.
Yeah, Baba Is You. Bobby's You is great. Bobby's You is a way smarter puzzle game, though.
It's so smart. It's so fucking... I never beat it. I never beat
Bobby's. Yeah, neither did I. I need to hop back in. That's a problem with some puzzle games, is that if you don't finish them all in, like, your one kind of sitting, or, like, if you go to, you know, you spend some time away, then I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot, like, half the shit I was doing, or the mechanics that I've been taught.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Baba Is You, though, like, I got what felt like pretty far to me, like maybe 2/3 of the way through. I don't even, maybe it wasn't even that much, but it's fun because they like let you see the final puzzle right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that game builds mechanics, like there's so many puzzles in that game that I just look at them and I'm just like, I absolutely fucking cannot comprehend even where I'm supposed to begin. Like, none of this tracks for my brain. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's so amazing. But when you do figure out puzzles in that game, you also feel like the smartest person in the world. Even some of the simple puzzles, you're just like, oh, of course!
That's, yeah. I mean, that's I say, like, people who make puzzle games, I have huge respect for, because it's like, you leave enough breadcrumbs that people don't feel like they're being led directly there, but when you get it, you're like, man, I'm a genius. I figured this out all by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. So good.
Yeah. Baba Is You, though, not as cozy, because, yeah, it is. It's not still quite, cute, no. But it's...
it's a great game.
It's so good. It has cozy vibes, but it's not, like, it's too hard.
That's why, okay, have you ever played Steven Sausage Roll?
No.
So that's another one where it's like, it's a puzzle game that has really cozy vibes, really great music, but it like gets too damn hard for me to consider it a cozy game. But that's another really underrated puzzle game as well.
Steven Sausage Roll.
Yeah, it's like because it's all blocky grid system, and essentially you're a guy with a little fork, and you have all of these uncooked sausages, and some of the things are grills. And so your job is to grill both sides of the sausage, but if you grill a part you've already grilled, you burned it. And so like roll it around all on a grid, and it sounds simple, but it adds more and more stuff. Like, it'll add layers, or it'll add bits where you can, how you move around, and it's really, yeah, really, really good. But it gets hard. Nice.
Steven Sausage Roll gets hard. Noted.
Yeah.
I was going for a dirty
that's
joke.
No, I know. That's anyway. The other thing whenever I talk about that game. Like, have you played Steven Sausage Roll? They're like, yeah. No, it's really fun. It's really, I swear.
My next game is about playing, it's a card puzzle adventure scenario where you're kind of just in a cabin hanging out, playing a tabletop game with a friend. And It's a lot of fun, and you have little cards, and you can lose. It has a fail state, but when you lose, you get to like make your own card, so that when you play again, you can like have a more powerful card. So it's cool, and it is very vibes, you know, and it feels like close, you know, like cozy in the way that a realtor means cozy, like really close walls and stuff like that. And it's a little game called Inscription.
Oh my god, that is funny. It's lived in, you know.
It's lived in. Yeah, you know, you just hang out with a shadowy guy in a cabin, and you play a fun game of cards, and what's really nice is when you do lose, he like reaches out to give you a nice big hug to make you feel better. Yeah. Inscription.
I would love somebody who's never heard of Inscription to just play it based on everything you're saying, and like, it's like, well, I guess technically everything he said was true.
Oh no. That's it. That's my bit.
Oh, good. That's good. I mean, Inscription is great. Yeah.
It is great. Not a cozy game though.
Is that it?
That's it. No, here, I'll do a real one. It's not a Devolver game though, but you did make me think when we were talking about tycoon games, the Jurassic Park Evolution.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I played the first one on Switch, and at a certain park size, it does stop working on Switch. But I really liked that game. I wanted to play the second one, but it had too much Chris Pratt in it, and I have an aversion to that particular mammal. But yeah, the first one, I really, really... It has a dumb fucking mechanic. But for anyone who doesn't know, Jurassic World Evolution is basically like Dino Park Tycoon.
Yeah.
But it's Jurassic Park. And they give you like dinosaur facts, and you can drive around your little Jeep and like go see the dinosaurs, and you like do stuff to like, you give them like medicine to make sure they're okay and stuff like that. And it's really, really fun. And it would be a perfect cozy game if it didn't have this one dumb fucking mechanic where you have three advisors. You have a science officer, a security officer, and a business person. And they all like have missions for you. And if you do the missions for the other people too much, like if you neglect one of them too much, they will sabotage the park. And it's the stupidest fucking thing in the world. Like the fucking security officer's like, oh, you got too many new dinosaurs and you sold too many snow cones instead of buying me this. Well, I'm going to let the Velociraptor out and kill everybody. And I'm like, dude, you are not fucking helping your situation.
They don't do background checks at the...
and I can't fire these fucking people.
Because they're union. Because
they're union. Yeah, it's a dumb fucking, like, it's one of those arbitrary difficulty mechanics that I abhor.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It's such bullshit, because I'm working a fine running park, and it's, the worst part isn't even just that you neglect them, it's if you do missions for some of them, it, like, lowers the opinion of the other ones, and I'm like, my fucking, like, it's fine that they don't like each other, but letting the dinosaurs out is not fucking acceptable.
That's not a you know, there's like going on strike, and then there's being an accessory to mass murder.
Yeah. Steal Tom's lunch, I don't care.
Yeah. Oh man, that's funny.
Yeah, but it's otherwise a really cool, lovely, fun game, and it's everything you want a Jurassic Park game to be. You can build monorails, and then you can sit in the monorail and like look out and see the dinosaurs as it drives around. It's really cool. Yeah, like tycoon games like that I really like, especially ones with animals.
Yeah, Zoo Tycoon, and even like
Zoo Tycoon.
Is it just called Roller Coaster Tycoon, or is it like Amusement Park Tycoon?
Yeah. And then there was, man, Bullfrog made one way back in the day that I loved. Theme Park, I think, was it called. There's another one. This is just rambling. I don't know if anybody's picked up that we're just rambling in this episode. We had guests, but they...
I was going to say, they're still waiting to be introduced.
they're still waiting to be introduced. We have Concerned Ape here today. But there was one that came out after Star Wars The Phantom Menace. And you were... I think it had C-3PO in it, but you were... Somehow the Gungans were involved. But... You were basically given a planet and a shitload of life forms, and it was your job to like create a balanced ecosystem. I don't know that I'd call it cozy. Maybe it was cozy. I can't really remember it. But like, so you had all these different plants that you had to put down, and they had like different rates of like reproduction, and you had all these animals that had different like how much they ate, what animals ate them. And it was this really cool thing where you would try to balance a whole ecosystem. By like putting all these little, you know, critters out, and they had Rancor in there as a thing, and you could not put the Rancors on the map where they would just eat fucking everything and breed and then eat more. It wasn't great. But anyway. Yeah. Jurassic Park Evolution is a lot of fun. And I recommend it as a cozy game, except for that one weird
fucking
mechanic. That one fucking part that will kill your fucking cozy vibe. Because you're like, sweet, my park's humming along. Like I don't mind the hurricanes. Like, a hurricane comes through, I'm like, well, I'm on a tropical island. That stands to fucking reason. you know, weather effects, things like that. I'm like, cool, cool. You know, like, you build emergency shelters, you know, in your park and stuff like that. It's great. Sabotage, man. It's not okay.
Before I move on, I want to. This is a quick little fun trivia bit, just because while we're talking about tycoon games, I would never have any other way to mention this ever, right? But
sorry, folks, we're out of time.
Goodbye. my father, he's retired now, but he worked at JM. You know him, has worked in video game industry for many, many, many years. First game ever worked on was Railroad Tycoon 2.
What?
Just a fun little thing.
Nice.
Came out in, I want to say, like 97 or 98, but yeah, it was the first game he worked on as a publisher, so.
Oh, man. We're not even talking about train games. Talk about, like, the epitome of cozy games. Train games.
Yeah, Transport Fever and, I forget the other one. Something simulator. You know, the one.
Train simulator.
Train simulator, yep. Planes, trains, and automobiles simulator.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So that was just a funny thing, because I remember having that game as a kid, but I was maybe like 5 years old, and I was like, this game looks boring. No, but, you know, I'd appreciate it now. But anyway, so fun little tidbit about myself that nobody cares
cool.
about. Anyway, next game. This is another entire category of games. And I won't spend too much time on it, because I've talked about them a lot when we did like co-op episodes. But man, Lego games, so damn cozy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like being like, they're centered around, you know, properties that we love, from Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Marvel, whatever. Like, at least if not you and I, like, some people like the thing. So it's in a familiar environment that you love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can die, but you just lose a couple coins and you come back. No real punishment.
Yeah.
They're pretty simple, but got lots of collectibles to have a nice sense of satisfaction of completing a story and finding things and just running around and or flying around as Iron Man, or like, you know, flying around as Superman, or getting in the Millennium Falcon, and just building things, like, because, you know, we played with Legos as kids, but having the video game version where you can just build this entire thing incredibly fast is always very satisfying. And yeah, man, the Lego games, all, like, even when they're like pizza, right? Even when they're not that great, they're still pretty good.
yeah.
So those are always like some of my favorite, like, casual, cozy, just like, oh man, this is just fun. And yeah, love the
good
Lego
couch
games.
Co-op.
Excellent couch co-op. And they're great for people who don't really like play a lot of games. And I think this is something I mentioned in the co-op thing, but like, so my girlfriend doesn't really play games, but I've gotten her to play Stardew Valley with me, and she's really clicked with it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, let's play a Lego game, because it's drop in, drop out. There's not a whole lot of like there's not really a punishment for death, you know, and like it's pretty simple. So like I don't know, like the little brother thing, right? It's like, oh yeah, you can just pop in and play. But yeah, great. I remember playing them with my little brother, like the Star Wars ones, I think were the first like big ones to come out. But yeah, they're all pretty good. And even if the thing that I think is a testament to their quality is that you pick like a setting that you really like, Star Wars, for example, then you really get immersed in it because you get all these cool characters, or like the DC ones, you get all these obscure ass superheroes you can play as, you know? But then, you know, like something I don't care about, and I guess I'm trying to think of an example, but like maybe like the Incredibles, like the Lego Incredibles game. I don't give a shit about that, but it's still fun to play, you know?
Not an Ayn Rand fan?
Nah, I thought it was a weird choice, but, you know. I did like the Atlas Shrugged Lego game. But, you know, yeah, just solid games. And like I said, I've talked about these when we did co-op, but again, I feel like some favorite cozy games.
Had I watched my nephews played it when we talked about it in co-op? Because I've watched my nephews play the Marvel one.
Uh-huh.
And they're very forgiving games because those kids were really bad. very forgiving games. Nice. Yeah, they're very chill. They're very, nice.
Yeah, it's...
it's like cozy adventure.
Yeah,
I was gonna... Like it's cozy action.
Yeah, you go, you fight you fight droids or supervillains or henchmen or whatever, and then the later ones where you have the open world where you're like, I'm going to run around and go on this adventure, or I'm going to go through Mordor or Gotham City. And like you said, they're very forgiving, but they don't ever make you feel... Like, it's weird, because there's no real punishment, and there's no... Like, they're very forgiving, but it doesn't feel like it's treating you stupidly, you know? Like, it just feels like, oh yeah, like, you lost some hearts, you lose some coins, that's what happened, like, that's what happens in Mario, it's just the same, you know? But, but then if you're really bad at it, you don't necessarily feel, like, the punishment of dying over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, good cozy stuff.
Nice. Lovely. Lovely. Speaking of games appropriate for all age groups, the Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood.
Yay!
Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood is really wonderful, cozy, adult cozy game. And I just mean adult as in, you know, for grown people.
I mean, very like mature subject matter and like adult themes, but I agree.
Just everything else is just kind of pass over somebody's head, because until you've understood loneliness, you won't understand Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood. And while children may be lonely, they don't have the despair built in yet to really comprehend, like, the...
They don't know shit, man.
They don't know shit.
They don't know how bad it can get.
But yeah, it's a really, really cool, beautiful game that is, you know, there's no fail state. And it's just a game where you move forward and the story happens and you meet these characters and you engage with them. Similarly, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I guess I feel bad that I never finished it. Spiritfarer.
Oh, I haven't played it. It's in my library, but I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, Spiritfarer was really cool. I think I got annoyed with some of the NPCs, because you get these spirits on your boat, and some of them are just rude. And, like, I'm like, get off my boat. The only way to get them off your boat is to, like, fulfill their destiny or whatever. And I'm like, I don't want to do this for you. I'm a bad person, Jared. I'm bad.
I'm preaching to the choir here, man.
But yeah, you know, that game is also, like, you know, it's lighthearted visually, but it does deal with adult themes. I mean, it's a game about death, and regret, and, you know, other things like that. So it's really, really cool in that way.
Deconstruct Team are really good at handling very, very heavy topics in a way that feels comfortable, you know. Because, like, I think really Red Strings Club did the same sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's as cozy, but you know, it definitely has that sort of vibe. I mean, but Gods Will Be Watching, not cozy in any way whatsoever.
Not cozy. Not cozy.
Funny, because you know, you're like, Cosmic Wheel has no fail state, and neither does Red Strings Club, and it was really funny talking with them, how they said that mm-hmm. because Gods Will Be Watching was so hard, and they started getting death threats, that they're like, well, nobody will ever be able to fail in any of the games going forward.
Right?
Which is insane.
I love what they've done with that, though. I mean, I think it's incredible that they took that and they go, okay, fine.
Yeah, it's almost like malicious compliance or whatever, where you're like, yeah, fine, fuck you. But then they're going to make just some amazing games as a result of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where having a restriction, even if it is, like, you know, arbitrary, having a restriction helps to, I mean, it influences art.
Yeah. Boosts creativity. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they always, like
if you have to think around a problem, suddenly you've got a lot more to work with.
No, absolutely.
Where you are made to do more. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, that's like, you know, you see that in a lot of games and a lot of art just in general. It's like the limitations are what kind of boosts some of the creativity.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, good pick, man. Cosmic Wheel is really, it might be my favorite out of theirs, honestly.
I need to go play Essays on Empathy. I just don't want to cry that much.
I didn't play all of them, so that's another one. I played some of the games from there, so I haven't finished that one, but since it's not like one, you know, like overarching story, I don't know, but yeah, I do need to finish that. But yeah, Cosmic Wheel is great.
Do you have more, Jared?
I got one more, man. I got one more. So, you know, being a kid who was into like rock and roll and stuff like that, I always wanted to skateboard because I thought that was cool. I'd listen to punk and eat pizza and skateboard. But I have no balance whatsoever, and I could not stand on a skateboard. So I played Skate and Skate 2. Some of my all-time favorite cozy games. Like, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is great, and it set the kind of precedent. But I think Skate, and I specifically think Skate 2, like, that really nailed the feeling of skateboarding and just having semi-open world to just run around in and ride around and do tricks and listen to some punk rock. That was like what I wanted to do, but I didn't have to put in the risk of physically getting hurt. But yeah, my last pick, one of my all-time favorite games, Skate 2.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, just, it's like, I'm just trying to, I was like, you know, like, sports games can be cozy because it's like playing the sport without actually playing the sport, and I think it maybe just ties into the fact that I always wanted a skateboard, and I actually tried to learn a lot, but I couldn't do it, and so it was able to, I sort of live vicariously through that game. But
yeah,
wouldn't really do any missions or anything like that. I just ride around town, buy some new clothes from a skateboarder, play some rockin' tunes, and I just have a good time, man.
Nice. You talk about, like, just goofing off like that. It makes me think of, like, my favorite aspects of games like Grand Theft Auto 5 or Red Dead Redemption 2, those big fucking open world. Even Skyrim, I used to play as a, like, when I would play it, I'd just walk quietly through the woods and just enjoy the ambiance. And there's something to be said about, like, having an open world peacefulness in games.
So during like pandemic and slightly after that, some of my favorite gaming memories are when we were playing Grand Theft Auto, right?
Yeah.
And like missions, heists, all of that, so much fun. But like just hanging out in like our friend's apartment and playing blackjack, you know?
Yeah.
Like that is just so fun, and was like some of the best times, or where we would just like, oh yeah, let's go to the beach and like get in my car and we're gonna like just do an impromptu drag race or something like that, or like, man, yeah, it's so fun.
Or just drive around.
Yeah, just drive around, and like in Red Dead Online too, just like, just get on your horse and like, oh, let's go like hunt a deer or something, like not for any real reason, just to like just to pretend like we're cowboys in the woods, you know, like
just to hang out.
Yeah, man, so good.
Yeah, I dig that a lot. I those games, it's strange to me that they don't have. Well, I mean, Grand Theft Auto has the people modded it to where it's got like they've got the RP servers and stuff like that. But like Red Dead, it's wild to me because it has a day-night cycle, and at night you pretty much can't fucking do anything because you can't see, which is cool. But like, if I can't do anything, like, give me campfire games to play. Let me play, you know, blackjack at my camp with my friends and like have that hanging out in camp experience. I think that would be incredible in those games.
Yeah, Red Dead Online is very disappointing because there's fuck all to do, but it's such a wonderful environment and like, you know, like it's Red Dead Redemption 2, right? It's like super realistic and beautiful and hanging out, but like, man, yeah, if they just had a few more things like that, God, it would be like a perk. Like, man, role playing is just a group of cowboys,
right?
So fun.
It's interesting. Yeah, there's so many games these days that really make the point that, like, I don't know, missions that feel like a job, but are fun and rewarding, where you get to hang out with your friends. Like, it doesn't have to be a shootout to be fun.
Yeah, it doesn't have to necessarily be like the, you know, like, because in Grand Theft Auto, right, like, even when we're doing the missions, some of the most fun I have is just, like, the in-betweens. Like,
yeah,
right, we're, like, we robbed this place, so now let's just hide out in the sewer. And we're just, like, hanging out there, like, joking around, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah. I think what this really means is that the true coziness comes from the friends we made along the way.
Jared, you're right. Oh my God. Whether those friends are fictional or the real people we know and love.
It's very true.
Coziness comes from God above. Sorry, I just wanted to rhyme. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Which makes my last cozy game choice a weird one. It's Friend Killer 5000.
Oh.
I don't have a last one.
I was like, is that a real game? Please tell me it is.
I do have Piku Niku. Like, I was thinking Piku Niku is a pretty great one.
Yeah, that's cute. It's a cute environment, cute music and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fairly cozy. It's a lighthearted platformer.
Yeah.
It's silly and weird. I don't know if it's a proper cozy game.
I think it could be, in the right mentality.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. The Cozy Council agrees. We have to send this episode off to the Cozy Council before it airs. Yeah. Well, sweet. Well, this has been great, Jared. Thanks for listening, everybody, if you are still listening to this very cozy episode of the Devolver Digital Forecast.
What are your favorite cozy games? Why don't you let us know in the Forecast sub-thread. See, I suck at this. On
God
Discord.
Damn it, you were doing so
on Discord.
It was great. Discord.
.gg/DevolverDigital. Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah, discord.gg/DevolverDigital. You can chat with us there. Tell us what your favorite cozy games are. You can also follow us on Twitter or Zwitter X, whatever the fuck it is, and whatever it will be. We're Devolver Digital there. We're on Twitch sometimes, twitch.tv/DevolverDigital. Instagram, Devolver Digital. Got that TikTok, Devolver Digital. I think, I don't know, maybe, I mean, maybe Facebook, but who the hell uses Facebook? And that's it. Oh, and of course, YouTube. There's a YouTube page. See some trailers and stuff there. We recently hit a milestone a few weeks ago, which was pretty cool.
That's right. 300,000 YouTube subscribers on our YouTube channel.
Very exciting. And yeah, so keep up with us there. And that's that.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.